Today, our summer sermon series on faith and films continues with a look at the classic movie Forrest Gump in light of a couple of scriptural passages, one from John's Gospel and the other from the first letter of John, both of which use the word abide. As I thought about Forrest Gump, which details the life journey of a man with an IQ of 75, it occurred to me that the main character in the movie, played by Tom Hanks, is a perfect illustration of knowing what really matters in life. In his steadfast compassion for those dear to him, Forrest demonstrates what it means to abide in love, which I would argue is abiding in God. Listen now for our first scripture passage, part of Jesus' final discourse to his disciples in the upper room on the night before his arrest. Note how Jesus uses the metaphor of a vine and branches to discuss what it means to be connected to him and to God, and how he encourages the disciples and us to abide in love. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Our second passage is just one short verse from the first letter of John. It's a text that I very often use right at the beginning of a marriage service. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. And may the gospel be more to us than mere words. May your Holy Spirit produce in us strong conviction. Amen. Believe it or not, I was totally, utterly unaware when I selected Forrest Gump as our film for today that yesterday was the 25th anniversary of its initial release. And you might say that the choice was providential or spirit-led or a happy accident or that God takes care of fools and children, but nevertheless, it was timely. Forrest Gump is a timely choice not just because of the anniversary, but because it delivers a message that needs to be heard today. If you watch the movie, you know that it details not just Forrest's life, but life in the United States throughout the decades of the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, which all had their share of turbulent times. I'd forgotten a little bit about some of those turbulent times. Of course, I didn't live through some of them either. Forrest, a simple man, a man with an IQ of 75, moves through this span of our nation's history, living out what it means, as the gospel and the letter of John put it, to abide in love. The movie revolves around four significant relationships in Forrest's life. The first is with his single mother. Mama, a small, determined woman, has absolute faith in her son and his ability to be whoever he wants to be, regardless of his lower IQ. She tells him with great conviction, "Don't let anybody ever tell you you're different than anyone else." She affirms from the beginning Forrest's inherent value as a human being and a child of God. Her simple homespun aphorisms like "stupid is as stupid does" and "life is like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get" stick with him. When she's dying of cancer, Forrest drops everything to move home to be with her. He asks her, "What is my destiny, Mama?" And she replies, "You make your own destiny by doing the very best with what God gave you." She sees in him the potential that is uniquely his, rather than assuming because of his low IQ that he has none. She loves him, and he responds to her love by being all that it is possible for him to be. Mama provides him with a model of unconditional love, a love that meets people where they are and sees and helps nurture what they can become. This model determines the way he lives his life and has a profound impact on those who are part of it. In terms of our text for today, you could say that Mama's abiding love for Forrest teaches him what it means to abide in love for other people. And the second relationship that Forrest has is with a lifelong friend, Jenny, of whom he says, "We went together like peas and carrots." They meet on the school bus when they are both 5 years old. She offers him a seat beside her when no one else will make room for him. Being mentally challenged and wearing braces on his legs was a combination that led to him being bullied. And in each instance, Jenny calls out to him, "Run, Forrest, run!" And when he does, for the first time, the braces fall off his legs. Forrest calls Jenny his most special and only friend, but she is a deeply wounded individual, having been sexually abused as a child by her father. So she drifts in and out of his life. She becomes a flower child in the 60s, a beatnik, ruled by drugs and prostitution. Through it all, Forrest loves her with a loyalty and a desire to defend her that never wavers. She asks him, "Why do you stay by me? Go away." And he replies, "Because you are my girl." It's almost painful to see Forrest stick with Jenny through it all. And at points you want to shake him and say, "Run, Forrest, run." But he sees in her what she can't always see in herself. The fine and beautiful person that she is at her core. Even as she exercises her freedom, a freedom that Forrest allows her to come and to go, Forrest sees in Jenny the person she is in her deepest and truest self. And this too is a lesson in abiding love. Love that sticks, love that remains, doesn't force the other person to stay, but like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, is always scanning the horizon, looking for them to come to themselves, just as the prodigal son did. That's the sort of love the world needs now, the kind that looks for the best in the other, that won't let our own or others' woundedness get in the way of seeing deep down to the child of God in the other. The third relationship is with Bubba. an African-American whom Forrest meets when he joins the Army and goes to Vietnam. On his first day in the Army, Forrest boards a bus with the other trainees, and suddenly he's back all those years ago to the school bus where no one would let him sit down except for Jenny. His experience is no different this time, except now it's Bubba, Benjamin Buford Blue, who reaches out and welcome. Sit down, if you want to. And from that moment on, they become fast friends. Bubba comes from a long line of shrimp fishermen, and his dream is to captain his own shrimp boat. One night in a monsoon, Bubba tells Forrest, "Let's me and you lean against each other back to back, then we won't have to sleep with our heads in the mud." And a little later, "You know why we're a good partnership, Forrest? Because we be watching out for each other like brothers and stuff." And he and Forrest decide together to go into the shrimping business when they get back from Vietnam. But after the rains end, they're savagely attacked by the Viet Cong. Forrest searches for Bubba in the jungle. When he hears, "Help me, Forrest, help me," he finds Bubba and he carries him through an inferno of shellfire, but Bubba has been mortally wounded. And as Forrest gathers him in his arms, he says, "My best good friend, and even I know that ain't something you find around the corner." The love between Bubba and Forrest, we see what it's like to be truly connected as fellow children of God. The man-made categories that divide us fall away, and we relate as human beings who really see each other and each other's pain and need and brokenness and the injustice that has been visited as well. We see that, and we want to work together. If that's not a message we need now in a world of brokenness and division, I'm not sure what is. There's a fourth relationship. It's with Lieutenant Dan, Forrest's commander in Vietnam. It's perhaps the most complex of all the four because Forrest has to deal with Lieutenant Dan's monumental anger. In the same firefight where Bubba is killed, Lieutenant Dan is gravely wounded, and Forrest, who has also been shot, carries him to safety against his will. At the field hospital, doctors amputate both of Lieutenant Dan's legs above the knees, and Forrest, who is recuperating from being shot in the buttocks, is in the next bed over when Lieutenant Dan yells at him, "We all have a destiny. It's part of a plan. I was supposed to die on the field with honor. Now I'm a legless freak. You cheated me of my destiny. This wasn't supposed to happen to me, Lieutenant Dan Taylor." Forrest's response is, "You're still Lieutenant Dan Taylor." He sees with childlike clarity. He knows that no matter what happens to you physically, it doesn't change who you are at the center. They go their separate ways, but they connect in New York City in the late 70s at Christmas time, and Lieutenant Dan is drinking heavily. He's wrapped up in his anger and his bitterness. And who can blame him, really? I mean, he has no legs. He rages about how the other amputees at the VA talk about finding Jesus and accepting Jesus into your heart, and how the priest told him that God is listening, but he has to help himself. He rants on about how the priest said if he accepted Jesus, he could walk beside him in the kingdom of heaven, and then he punctuates it with, well, walk. Well, kiss my crippled behind. God is listening. Through it all, Forrest sits with Lieutenant Dan's anger and cynicism and just loves him. Later, he tells Lieutenant Dan about the promise he made to Bubba to go into the shrimping business. And he moves to Bubba's hometown and starts the business up. And Lieutenant Dan shows up. And Forrest greets him with a shout of joy, "Lieutenant Dan, Lieutenant Dan." Every time he sees Lieutenant Dan, "Lieutenant Dan." Dan had told him in a drunken rage, "If you become the captain of a shrimp boat, I'll be your first mate." And so he showed up to fulfill his promise. At first, they have no luck. And Lieutenant Dan sneers, "Well, maybe we ought to pray for shrimp." When nothing happens, he bitterly says, "Where the hell is this God of yours?" And then a storm of biblical proportions begins. It's Hurricane Carmen. And Lieutenant Dan, way up high on the ship, screams at God like Job before the whirlwind, "It's time for a showdown. Come and get me." After the storm, Lieutenant Dan's anger seems to subside. How about those Psalms? And he comes to some peace. And then they come to see that all of the shrimp boats, but theirs, have been destroyed in the storm. And they harvest tons of shrimp and become millionaires. And he tells Forrest, "I never thanked you for saving my life." And with that, we know he's healed. With that, we know he's healed, not because of the millions, not because of the tons of shrimp, but because of the gratitude. Now, you know that I am an easy mark when it comes to weeping in a movie. But something about watching this one again got to me. A simple man making his way through three decades in our nation's history, learning from his single mother what it meant to love unconditionally, embracing friends in their brokenness, seeing beyond woundedness and difference in skin color and background, beyond anger and cynicism, to the core of another person. That's what it means to abide in love. That's what it means. We live in a day and age where we need to do that. It is our calling to do that, to abide, to remain in love, to stay connected to God and to each other. That's what Jesus was talking about. And that's what Forrest lived. Even if he wasn't a real person. In Jesus' name.